Politics is a full-time engagement. You need to create your constituency, go out and meet people.
Elections in Asia show many facets of democracy. It's Friday, April 19th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, North Korea makes moves in weapons and diplomacy. Opioids remain a killer as tighter Chinese controls are set to begin. A presidential investigation comes to light. Reversing writing difficulties. And Notre Dame. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says he has won re-election after receiving an estimated 54% of the vote, backtracking on an earlier vow to wait for official results after his challenger made improbable claims of victory. Widodo, after meeting with parties in his coalition, told reporters that the leaders of Malaysia, Singapore, Turkey, and numerous other nations have congratulated him on securing a second term. The vote estimate is based on so-called quick counts of a sample of polling stations by a dozen reputable survey organizations. Widodo said that 100% of sample polling stations have now been counted or close to that. The quick counts have been accurate in previous elections. Ongoing elections are also taking place in India. Two regional parties have created a stir because of the number of women that they've chosen as candidates. The Trinamool Congress has fielded 40% women contestants, and 33% of the candidates for the Biju Janata Dal are women. But no national party, including the incumbent BJP and main opposition Congress, has featured women in such large numbers. That's one reason why experts say India probably won't see a significant jump in the number of women elected to India's parliament. VOA's Rital Joshi tells us more from New Delhi.
Political rallies everywhere. It's election time in India, and parties are trying to outdo each other with impassioned appeals for votes. This political party in the Pahadganj area of Delhi has an especially difficult task. All its members are women. The All India Women United Party says it wants women to take their rightful place in politics and fill 50% of India's parliamentary seats.
When you don't have the power or the position to influence, you will only be pushed around. No one will pay heed to your demands. We have reached the conclusion that women have only been misused for the past 72 years.
While women have served as President and Prime Minister of India and as Chief Ministers in various states, often female political leaders have come from influential or political families.
It will not be right to consider them the representatives of common women in India. Assessment of common women should be independent of these leaders.
In the 2014 general election, 62 women won seats in India's 543-member Lok Sabha or the lower house. That was a 72-year record high. Still, while women make up nearly half of India's population, they represent only 11% of its parliament.
Politics, as I said,
politics is a full-time engagement. You need to create your constituency, go out and meet people. This becomes difficult for women who also have a family to look after.
In political parties, leaders are mostly men who are also surrounded by men. Many of these come from conservative backgrounds. They do not want women to become so powerful that they start ruling over them.
Previous efforts in parliament to ensure more women are elected have hit roadblocks. Experts believe the situation will not change until women start wielding real political power.
When you are in power and have the ability to give jobs, allocate tickets, do favors, then only men will listen to you.
India's Election Commission says 260 million women voted in the 2014 general elections. But there were 5,000 male contestants compared to just 400 female contestants. Advocates hope having more women run for political office will eventually help more women rise to positions of political power. Rithul Joshi, VOA News, New Delhi, India.
These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. North Korea tests new tactical guided weapon. North Korea's Kim to meet with Russian President Putin. North Korea says Pompeo not welcome at nuclear negotiations. sources say Amazon close to its domestic marketplace in China. Myanmar land law threatens to criminalize existing landowners. Expanding coverage of all of these stories, much more can be found when you log on online to VOA Asia Facebook and stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Since emerging from his international isolation just over a year ago, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has been a busy man. Kim has met twice with U.S. President Donald Trump, three times with South Korean President Moon Jae-in, four times with Chinese President Xi Jinping, and once with Vietnamese President Nguyen Phu Trong. One name missing from that list is Russian President Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin says the two men are to meet later this month in Moscow. The Kremlin did not provide details of the Putin-Kim summit, but said it had planned the meeting for months. Kim and U.S. President Donald Trump have held two summits as part of an ongoing effort to denuclearize North Korea, but those efforts have stalled. Russia and North Korea have relatively warm relations, and Putin has long expressed a willingness to meet with Kim. Pyongyang and Moscow have clear motivations for the meeting. Kim, whose government is being squeezed by international sanctions, is likely to push Putin for economic aid that would give him more leverage in nuclear talks with the United States. Putin may use the meeting to boost his influence in North Korea and ensure Moscow is not sidelined in negotiations over North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Scholars who are following the developments say Putin is not likely to play the role of spoiler in the North Korea-U.S. talks, in part because he doesn't have much leverage over Pyongyang. Russia does see North Korea as a buffer against the U.S. military presence in the region, including the 28,000 U.S. troops stationed in South Korea. By meeting with Putin, Kim may be trying to show Trump that he has other options for economic help, but it's not clear how much Russia can offer, in part because of Russia's struggling economy and also because such help could violate sanctions. Meanwhile, North Korea is demanding that U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo no longer take part in any further talks involving its nuclear weapons program. The North's foreign ministry says Pyongyang wants someone who is, quote, more careful and mature in communicating. We hear more from VOA's Jeff Custer.
Pyongyang said Pompeo should be replaced in talks by someone more mature. The report came hours after North Korea announced its first weapons test since nuclear talks broke down earlier this year. North Korea announced that leader Kim Jong-un had overseen the testing of a new tactical guided weapon. The KCNA said the weapon has a peculiar mode of guiding flight and a powerful warhead. No details were given on the weapon tested, but tactical implied a short-range weapon rather than the long-range ballistic missiles that have been seen as a threat to the United States. U.S. government officials were not immediately available for comment on the call to replace Pompeo. Jeff Custer, VOA News.
North Korea has not carried out a nuclear or long-range missile test for well over a year since Kim began talks with the United States and South Korea. Our thanks to VOA correspondents Bill Gallo in Seoul, Joo-hyun Lee, Wayne Lee, Cindy Sain, and Richard Green for their reports on this story. Happening now in Asia, an earthquake of magnitude 6.1 struck Taiwan's coastal city of Hualien Thursday, shaking buildings and temporarily suspending subway services in the capital, Taipei. But there were no immediate reports of damage or casualties. The central government said it had set up a disaster reaction center. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We've reached the end of the week. It's Friday. We're glad you're with us at VOA Asia. In 2017, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services declared a public health emergency after opioid overdoses accounted for more than 42,000 deaths in the United States in the prior year. That was more than any previous year on record. An estimated 40% of opioid overdose deaths involved a prescription opioid, but much of the remaining opioids have been traced to illegal drugs coming from China. Washington has been urging Beijing to stop fueling the opioid epidemic, and recently, China agreed to help, announcing that all variants of fentanyl will be treated as controlled substances. Authorities in China already regulate 25 variants of fentanyl. It's a synthetic opioid linked to thousands of drug overdose deaths here in the United States. But some manufacturers in China, seeking to evade controls, have introduced slight changes to the molecular structure of their drugs, which gives them the legal loophole to manufacture and export before the government can assess the products for safety and medical use. Liu Yujin, an official of China's National Narcotics Control Commission, says the decision to regulate all fentanyl-related drugs as controlled substances, quote, puts a wider array of substances under regulation. That regulation is to take effect May 1st. But the crisis continues as U.S. authorities have charged 53 medical professionals, including 31 doctors, for their roles in illegally prescribing opioids and other dangerous drugs, sometimes in exchange for sex. Making the announcement in Cincinnati, Ohio, Wednesday, federal officials said their work is not finished. VOA's Slotika Hoke has details.
American physicians, pharmacists, and other medical professionals have been accused of illegally prescribing millions of pills containing opioids and other harmful drugs. Authorities have identified 350,000 illicit prescriptions, distributing 32 million pills.
Today's announcement involves alleged crimes against 53 medical professionals, including 31 physicians, 7 pharmacists, 9 physicians' assistants or nurse practitioners, and 6 other healthcare professionals. This takedown is the largest of its kind against DEA-registered prescribers.
Those charged were not immediately named, but officials said arrests were being made and search warrants were carried out, even as they were announcing the charges Wednesday.
If so-called medical professionals behave like drug dealers, the Department of Justice is going to treat them like drug dealers.
Almost all of the illegal prescriptions for drugs such as fentanyl and oxycodone were issued in 5 states, Alabama, Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, and West Virginia. The most egregious cases include a doctor in Dayton, Ohio, who allegedly dispensed 1.75 million pills in a 2-year period, and another in Alabama who allegedly recruited women to have sex and allowed them to use drugs in his home.
Opioid misuse and abuse is an insidious epidemic, created in large part by the overprescribing of potent opioids nationwide. And unfortunately, Appalachia is at the center. The epidemic has resulted in a new generation of people suffering from the disease of addiction, and DEA has been a part of these frontline efforts in playing a central role. We're using all available means, administrative, civil, and criminal, to ensure that our 1.8 million registrants comply with the law.
More than 42,000 Americans died of an opioid overdose in 2016, and the numbers are growing. U.S. President Donald Trump has called the opioid crisis a public health emergency, and in 2018 unveiled his Stop Opioid Abuse initiative to confront the driving forces behind the crisis. Measures include education on the danger of opioids, cutting down domestic and international supply chains of illegal drugs, and helping addicts to recover. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Coming up, investigating collusion allegations. You're listening to VOA Asia.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This news from VOA Asia, Philippine diplomats have begun evacuating a small group of Filipinos from the Libyan capital after it was hit by a barrage of rocket fire that wounded one Filipino. Department of Foreign Affairs spokesman Emmanuel Fernandez said in Manila that 3 hospital workers and 4 students were evacuated. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories. You can share them too. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, we take a moment to get up to date on a large political development here in the United States, as the long-awaited Mueller report has been released, with many parts of it redacted or blacked out to protect information sensitive to U.S. intelligence activities. Special Counsel Robert Mueller investigated 11 instances in which he suspected that President Donald Trump had obstructed justice by trying to thwart his investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election that Trump won, but ultimately he could not prove the president's intent to break the law. President Trump is declaring he's been fully exonerated, as we hear from VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman.
Shortly after the attorney general had briefed journalists on the Mueller report, the president, at an unrelated event in the White House East Room, declared he was having a good day, as the special counsel found no collusion, no obstruction.
This should never happen to another president again. This hoax. This should never happen to another president again.
But a number of revelations in the special counsel's report are certain to prompt further congressional scrutiny of the president and his 2016 election campaign. Steve Herman, VOA News, at the White House.
The 448-page report released Thursday concludes there is no evidence that Trump or his campaign aides coordinated with Russians to interfere on behalf of Trump's 2016 presidential election campaign against Democrat Hillary Clinton. While the investigation documented many links between people with ties to the Russian government and individuals involved in the Trump campaign, Mueller wrote, quote, the evidence was not sufficient to support criminal charges. However, the report cites numerous efforts by an angst-ridden Trump to derail or impede the federal probe of suspected Russian meddling in the campaign. Part of Mueller's problem in reaching a decision on obstruction of justice was Trump's refusal to participate in a face-to-face interview with prosecutors. Instead, the president would only agree to provide written responses to questions posed by prosecutors under prearranged ground rules. Mueller's final report contains 12 pages of Trump's written responses. They included no questions regarding obstruction of justice. What have long been public are the legal ramifications of Mueller's probe. 5 Trump campaign associates pleaded guilty or were convicted in a range of offenses, and a 6th is awaiting trial, some for lying about their contacts with Russians during the 2016 campaign or just before he took office in January 2017, and some for offenses unrelated to Trump. This news from VOA Asia, Indonesian President Joko Widodo says he's won re-election. After receiving an estimated 54% of the vote, backtracking on an earlier vow to wait for official results after his challenger made improbable claims of victory. Widodo says numerous nations have congratulated him. You'll find all the big stories on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now in VOA Asia, as recently as a half century ago, young American students would spend many lessons writing curved loops and diagonal lines as they learned how to write in what we call cursive. Over the years, through computer keyboards and voice-to-text programs, they've replaced pens and pencils and made handwriting, especially cursive, less relevant. But as Faiza El-Masri discovered, handwriting, especially cursive, can help dyslexic kids improve their reading. Faith Lapidus narrates her report.
I chose when I wrote mine to put a finger space in between because I know I struggle with spacing in between my cursive words.
Several times a week, students at St. Luke's School in McLean, Virginia, receive instruction in handwriting, holding their pencils to form neat loops and curls.
Looping and curving around at the top.
Teacher Grace O'Connor says eventually, all of them will have a style all their own.
The great thing about cursive is everyone kind of has their own little spin to it. Like, they know how to form the letters, but as you get older, you kind of develop your own flow to your cursive writing, and it's yours.
Name and desk write.
But learning is a bit different for children with disabilities. Therapist Deborah Speer helps students with dyslexia, a disorder that makes it difficult to read or interpret letters, words, and other symbols.
Drift.
She says practicing handwriting, especially cursive, helps these kids become better readers. The distinct curves and shapes have a greater possibility of being retained in memory.
X.
We always teach the students that their hands will help them read. So we always start with skywriting.
Type I.
For that, the student writes a letter in the air and names the letter at the exact same time he or she is writing it.
Y.
Consonant E.
Joseph, who's in the 7th grade, has been working with Speer for 3 years. He says learning to write has helped him learn to read.
my hand remembers it, and so does my brain. And then when my brain starts remembering it, my brain remembers the letters in the word, and then when I see those letters in the word, I remember the word when I'm reading.
Wood. W-O-U-L-D.
They're working on hand-eye coordination and spelling at the same time.
W-O-U-L-D.
When their spelling is smooth, they're integrating that sense of breaking a word down.
Connecting the letters on paper helps students see each letter more distinctly.
Capital B.
Capital B.
A benefit they don't get from typing.
Even if you're able to touch type, just wiggling the fingers is not the same as engaging the whole muscle of the arm and handwriting.
It's helped the students gain confidence.
Very nice.
The more help they get with it, the better. And I feel like they have a heightened sense of pride in their work from getting this extra help because it's allowing them more opportunity to use strategies that they're learning one-to-one.
Lessons for life, no matter how much they'll use cursive handwriting in the years to come. For writer Faiza El-Masri in McLean, Virginia, Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Many Chinese netizens watched with the rest of the world as Notre Dame Cathedral burned in Paris this week. On the social media platform Weibo, some compared the tragic fire to that of the Old Summer Palace, which was looted and burned down by British and French forces during the Second Opium War almost 200 years ago. Bells tolled across France Wednesday to mark the moment flames began demolishing parts of Notre Dame Cathedral. The focus is now on rebuilding the Paris Cathedral and finding the cause of the inferno that ravaged one of the world's most iconic landmarks. From the French capital, Lisa Bryant reports for VOA that the unity forged by the fire may be short-lived.
From village churches to Saint-Sulpice in Paris, the sound of bells was everywhere. Notre Dame is badly damaged by Monday's fire, but still standing. Some of its biggest treasures have been saved, the bell towers and rose windows, along with priceless artifacts like a crown of thorns said to have been worn by Jesus.
Un concours international d'architecture.
Earlier Wednesday, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe announced a global competition to design the replacement of Notre Dame's spire that collapsed in the inferno. The cathedral had fire alarms, but reportedly lacked some basic safety measures. President Emmanuel Macron wants to repair Notre Dame in 5 years when Paris hosts the Olympics. Some experts estimate it will take much longer. But reconstruction money is pouring in, nearly $1 billion in donations so far.
Je crois très profondément qu'il nous revient de changer cette catastrophe.
In an address to the nation, Macron said the fire offered an occasion to come together. We can be better than we are, he said. But it's unclear whether Notre Dame or Macron can unify a deeply divided France that has seen months of yellow vest protests over government policies. Nicolas Chouin, who joined the crowds of people flocking to see the charred cathedral, said he hopes healing will occur.
It's something that it's beyond us. It's beyond our little problems from the everyday life, so it can be some a rewarming event in a way. Of course, it doesn't solve all the political issues currently, but it may be. We'll see if it's just a parenthesis.
The fire caused France's squabbling parties to suspend campaigning for European Union elections, but most observers think the truce will be short-lived. The French are also waiting for Macron to announce planned measures to meet popular grievances, also delayed by the inferno. Investigators are interviewing construction workers who might have inadvertently started the blaze. So far, the cause is still considered likely to be accidental. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. A great place to hear our program is on the radio. Chiang Mai University, Radio FM 100 at Chiang Mai University in Thailand carries our program. We thank everyone there who's tuned in today. And we also thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Keith Holmes, managing editor Diane Gao, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. On our VOA Asia team, I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We'll see you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.